Podtacular 129, Sierra 117 Campaign and Caviar Show for the week of October 2nd, 2007.
Who took my cookies?
Welcome to Podtacular,
the unofficial Halo Universe podcast.
You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about Tuesday's topic on Podtacular.com to help you dominate in Halo.
So strap on your battle armor and grab the VR.
Because it's time to finish the fight. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JBB.
And this is Drive C.
And we're all back with our Drive. First ever Halo 3 episode.
That's right, we're back, baby. Back with a huge opening show. Definitely. So huge that there might not be time for everybody, as usual. So, yeah. How about the show notes?
It's massive, for sure.
But yeah, we have a lot to talk about this week. And we took a 2-week hiatus, and we will explain why in a little bit. But I know I speak for Fumo Jive. I'm excited to be back.
For sure, man. I'm pumped.
So Drive C, first of all, I want to tell you, welcome aboard. It's good to finally have you here. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to in the community?
Okay, thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, basically, most recent thing I've done on the community is Twas the Night Before Halo 3. Mm-hmm. You might have seen it on the front page.
Yeah.
Just kind of went writing it and was kind of thinking, well, September 25th, December 25th, there's a connection there. Two best days ever. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, and when Christmas comes around, Master Chief is going to have a Christmas outfit, and instead of a bag of goodies, he's going to have a rocket launcher wrapped around on his back or something for kids who are naughty. But quickly, how long did it take you to write that up?
About an hour and a half to about 2 hours. The reason why I was watching The Simpsons. So.
All right. Well, for those who want to check it out. Make sure to go to podtacular.com. It was posted on the front page. It's very humorous and it's well written and it got a lot of positive feedback. So make sure you go check it out.
So I heard you guys went somewhere quite special last week.
Yeah, we did actually. JVB, you and I went over to Seattle for the Halo 3 launch event over at Microsoft. Got to play some Halo 3 early. Got to hang out at the huge Best Buy event. Why don't you tell us what your thoughts were on the event and, you know, what you got from it in general?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the guys from Gamerscore Blog, Tony Hines, John Picaro, Chris Palladino, and the newest member, Nelson Rodriguez, for flying, especially you, Fumo. This was your first real community day event, and it just so happened to be during Halo 3, which is the biggest launch within the next 5 years. So we were actually the only show that was complete that actually was flown over there. And, of course, we couldn't tell anybody because they didn't want us to. And you cannot cross the Godfather. But anyway, the event was awesome. We went, played Halo 2 for like 12 – I mean Halo 3, excuse me. Gotta, you know, get out of habit of saying Halo 2. Played Halo 3 for about 12 hours and then went to Best Buy, met up with some interesting individuals, some dude named Marty O'Donnell. Another guy named Luke Smith. I don't know. We saw some real skinny guy named, what was his name?
Bill Gates or something?
Yeah. Something Gates. I don't know. But no, nonetheless, it was incredible. And it's definitely the community event. I've been to a few. This one, there's nothing that's going to top it. This one is always going to stick.
Definitely.
What about you, Fumo?
It was a great time. I mean, yeah, it was super cool of Microsoft to really hook us up and say, hey, you guys, we appreciate you, and we're going to send both of you. We were the only ones that got two people sent from our group. So it was very cool of them to do that. And we just met, Absolutely. You know, a whole lot of great people in the community. We met a ton of big Halo fans. We met Mario O'Donnell. We met, you know, KP in person. We met, there was three busloads of people from Bungie that were there to check out the launch. Master Chief was there, you know, Luke Smith was there. We got some interviews that are coming up later on this show, as a matter of fact. And, you know, there was tons of Halo fans. There was probably well over 1,000 people there at the Best Buy. It was wrapping all around the Best Buy onto the Home Depot at the other end of the parking lot. And, you know, people were, cheering and chanting and jumping up and down and yelling. Man. Oh, man. Halo 3.
The funniest part was when we got to, when the bus got to the Best Buy, and Tony Hines, he turns around, he goes, "Hey, John just played a practical joke on you guys. He said you guys were Bungie." So we got out, and everybody's screaming, "Yeah!" They're like, "Who the hell are these guys?"
And so dude, I rock from Too Old to Play, he's like, "Who's fired up about Halo 3?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah!" He's throwing them t-shirts and everything. Yeah, and man. Awesome, that was a great moment right there.
My voice was destroyed, man, that night. I mean, but it was so much fun. I mean, it felt good being amongst those people because, you know, waiting online for so long, I mean, that's the sign of a true Halo fan. And,
definitely,
of course, Podtacular is, you know, we're all true Halo fans, so it felt like we were at home. And supposedly, there were a few people who heard of Podtacular, so I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know about that one.
Well, I mean, there was people, you know, we were there with Louis Wu from HBO.
Yeah.
And, you know, it surprised me over there. He was on the bus. He came from Bungie, actually. He hung out with them for a little while and came back on the bus from Bungie. And I was hanging out with him, and there was this one guy over there that was like, "Hey, are you from Bungie?" And he's like, "No, I'm from Bungie.org." And he's like, "Oh." And he walks away, and I'm like, dude, do you have any idea who this is, man? This is the man. This guy is responsible for more of pretty much the entire Halo community. You know, everybody has gotten a Halo fan site or Halo podcast together, that guy has been helping them out from square one, man. So
yeah, absolutely.
It was super cool to meet him. I mean, that was one of the highlights of the whole, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, and he was a very, very down-to-earth guy, very funny, very acrobatic, because he actually was stuffed in the trunk of an SUV full of luggage, and this guy is like 6'10".
Yeah.
And when I saw him get in, go to the SUV, I'm like, where's he going to sit?
He's like, "No, I can fit in. I'm fine. I'll just get in the back here with the luggage." We're like, "You sure, man? I don't know. You're pretty tall." No, I'm cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really upset nobody took a picture, because that would have been a great picture, man. I was like, how? When I saw the amount of luggage there, and then I saw his height, I mean, he's 6'5", but still, that's very tall.
He was pushing it, man. I'm telling you. He had like a tiny air hole to breathe out of, and his entire window was fogged up. Every time he said something, like, people would be talking to each other, and you'd hear something from the back go, or something. It's like all muffled, and everybody's like, what was that?
He had like a scuba hose sticking out so he could breathe.
He came out, and he was pouring in sweat, man. And he's like, "No, I'm cool, I'm cool."
Oh, man. It saved him a trip, man. It saved him, you know, an expense.
I guess so.
That was cool, man. It was cool how, coincidentally, we all almost landed at the same time and met up at the airport. And it was definitely a great event, man.
For sure.
So, Fumo, real quick before we get started, what was your most memorable moment there?
Oh, man, I'd have to say, you know, meeting Marty O'Donnell in person. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, some people, you know, idolize guys like Warren Moon that was there, or Bill Gates that was there. And, you know, to me, I don't necessarily idolize Marty O'Donnell, but I really appreciate what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely.
The kind of work he's done is I've always admired a lot. So it was very cool to meet him in person and just to ask him about the, you know, some of the influences and some of the things that he considered going into Halo 3. Actually, JVB did a lot of that interview, and it was very cool. You guys are going to get to hear that later. Mm-hmm. And that was a very cool interview. But just to hear that and just to meet him in person was a thrill to me. So definitely a highlight.
That was one of my highlights. I mean, I was so nervous that I called myself Fumo Jive. So that broke the ice, kind of. But I'm going to get a little emo here. Fumo. I'm going to get emo. But I'm going to say, there was one moment where me, you, and a few other people were recording something,
yeah.
And some dude started screaming like he was getting his testicles ripped off. And we all turn around and we see this guy's face like he saw Elvis Presley back in the 60s, and he threw his panties at him. And he was getting nothing but a Halo Clicks little, remember the 4-pack? And he's like, ah! And me.
I do remember that. You were like, recording something with Dweezil, and you guys both just turned around like, what the crap is going on back there,
Yeah, I
man?
Look at you, and me and you look at each other like, holy.
Someone's having a schizoid embolism or something, dang.
No, but then, like, there was one moment you and I, we were like, kind of like, looking over the whole event, and turn to each other and you're like, dude, man, thank you for bringing me here. And I'm like, man, don't even go there. It was your hard work that got you over here. And so that was like the moment where I realized, holy crap, you know, me and Fumo Java here representing, you know, the whole Particular community. So that, to me, was the most memorable moment, having us both there.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, that was my emo moment. So, yeah,
let
I guess
me,
we can start the show.
Well, this is so cool. The campaign show, and it is the first in our new show rotation, which we're really pumped about. Let's go through that real quick. First off, we have the Campaign and Caviar show, and that is all about campaign. It's campaign scoring, it's the story, it's the levels, it's the AI, it's all of it. And we talk about how to get the highest campaign score in all the land.
Absolutely, and then we're going to do customs and call-ins and tales from the foxhole. Captain Crunk will return with the narrating for the voicemails, and then we're going to play these back. And you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO, and I'm going to say it a few more times at the end of the show. You know, make sure it's Halo-related. It could be funny, but keep it on topic, please. And then we're going to read your tales from the from Halo Pwnage. And, I mean, it is going to be crazy. There's going to be so many new features that are going to be added to what we were used to. So who knows what's going to come out of these phone calls. I can't wait.
Definitely. So that's Collins and Tales from the Foxhole. Mm-hmm. After that, we have Customs and Creations. And now that the floodgates have opened with custom game options, it's definitely time to get creative with this. And that's where we read off a bunch of cool customs from the community. We also talk about your favorite Forge edits. And what's cool about this is that now we can give out your gamer tags and others can download the customs and map edits instead of having to put in all the rules in the podcast. How cool is that? Now we can just give out the gamer tag and you guys can download them. So I mean,
exactly.
What
exactly.
A cool way
no
to
more,
you know to find
no
cool customs.
Yeah, I know. No more. I jumped off the cliff and stuck a guy with a plasma grenade. Now we can actually see it.
Sure exactly. Yeah.
And I stuck 100 people. In one game.
And then we're going to do Map of the Month, the return of Map of the Month. And it's going to be a show all about strategery. We talk about how to kick arse, one of my favorite words, on multiplayer map, all broken down by game type or just general tips. This is where we help you level up and stay there.
That's right. We're really looking forward to bringing back that show and really all of these shows because this is what Podtacular was meant to be. And this is where we're going to be for quite a long time.
Yeah, I'd say about, I don't know, 5 years. What do you think?
5, 50, something like that.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to retire doing this.
So, hey, everybody, this is Fumo Jive.
This is JVVR. Thank God I have the pens on. Because I just wet myself.
Oh, not again.
Speaking of poop, Fumo, I have a good one for you.
Anyway, so...
Well, JVB's going to start us off with the first one on campaign.
Yeah,
we're going to
go with
here.
Aerostrike. He says, I got Halo 3 at the midnight launch, and when I got home, I immediately popped in the disc. My first impression of the game was that the graphics were stunning. The opening was epic. I will go into more detail, but I don't want to spoil anything. Unfortunately, I was a bit disappointed with the AI. It is a big improvement, but the way Bungie made it sound, I was expecting a lot more. Well, dude, you got to play it on Legendary.
Word.
That is, or Heroic. because let's face it, we're experienced Halo players, so playing on normal is a cop out. Play it on either heroic or legendary. Legendary is no joke.
Definitely, especially on co-op, it really jazzes up as well. So.
Yeah, co-op's absolutely awesome. We'll talk about that a little more. Drive C, what if you do this next dude? I don't know who he is.
Yeah, must be some loser or something. Okay, I says, Drive C. this is a little awkward. Hey, Pumptacular, I first have to say that I really wanted to play in the battle in the ruins of New Mombasa, or at least see a cinematic. Basically, that was just the Believe ad campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think they started it off after the Master Chief had been captured and escaped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
The jungle? Oh, wow. That is just absolutely beautiful. If you guys... I don't know anyone who hasn't played this yet, but if you haven't, it's just... It's... I'm speechless. Yeah.
It's an impressive map. Lighting and everything.
Oh, lighting. And I think what made the game was the 5.1 surround sound. It makes it even more realistic. I mean, there's just water dropping. You walk, you know, past it, and you hear it behind you. It, I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. There's a whole bunch of little Easter eggs that I caught in the first one. Sorry if this is going to spoil for anyone, but basically, to all you Firefly fans, Nathan Fillion is doing voice acting in the game as Sergeant Reynolds. Now, that may sound familiar to some. If not, go watch Firefly on iTunes. Okay. It's totally worth it, I promise.
Okay. I didn't realize that one. I'm sure there's a lot of Easter eggs in there.
Oh, there is.
Okay, so Scrawny Pale Male says, I loved this level so much. The lighting and such was amazing. And I love the opening video. It's funny. I know one skull is near the first battle. When you drop down into the pool where some coveys were dropped, go right until you see a rock sticking out. At the end of the rock, the blind skull lays. Yeah, so Halo 3 is awesome, and so is the Gravity Hammer. Short story, when I first got the hammer with a friend in co-op, I said, it's hammer time! And I thought it was funny. Go Arby.
Were you there when... No, you weren't. They separated us into different rooms over there in Seattle. And when I was playing the co-op, and the first time I had a confrontation with a grunt, you know, we all had headsets on. And I'm yelling out, come on, monkey! Come on! So Tony Hines comes up to me and goes, who are you talking to? I'm like, oh, you heard that, huh? He's like, come on, monkey, like imitating me. And I'm like, oh, boy. Because, I mean, the confrontation, I mean, when you first see the brute coming at you with the gravity hammer, it's like, holy moly, you know, like, so I'm talking trash to him.
I'll shake monkey. Those coconuts right out of your hand.
You see this banana? It's my banana. What are you going to do about it? All right, so K-Fix, he says, Sierra 117 wrapped up in one word. Wow. The first level really counts in a game. I was so looking forward to Sierra 117. As I began, I noticed that the lighting was amazing. Playing Sierra 117 in HD TV was beautiful. The enemies were obviously much smarter, and I kind of flipped out when I saw a grunt with two lit plasma grenades in his hands. I died several times, even on normal, but I learned from my mistakes. When I met the first brute chieftain, I killed him as fast as I could so I could get my hands on the hammer. Hammer time. It felt so good smashing Grunson. There are two skulls in this level, the blind skull and the iron skull. The blind skull is located on a cliff ledge near where you meet the first phantom. The iron skull is near the end of the rooftop. Some tips on speed running the level for campaign scoring is to always know where you are and to use your environment to your advantage. Try jumping on trees to skip certain parts and know where your enemies are. That's all I got. Enjoy Halo 3, guys. Keep on fragging trucks. He says, P.S., good job with the new website.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Captain Crunk for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Captain Crunk did a great job. Did some little minor changes, but they look very nice. But yeah, I was the one that when we played, I believe I finished Sierra 117 during our community day, and I did the same thing. I was jumping on top of trees and just, you know, kind of jumping over enemies and skipping through, because I didn't really want to get into full details. So, yeah, if you want to do something like that, there are different ways of finishing it. And there's a fight going on in the background.
Yeah, I hear that. Wow.
Hey, they told me to open my window.
They're like, oh my god, he's so spectacular.
Whoa.
All right, cool.
It's
so,
yeah, but, oh, I was going to say, okay. He was talking about the, he was talking about campaign scoring. Have you guys tried that yet?
Yes. Yes, I have. And it's, I tried it on co-op, and it was actually cool.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to try it because of the four-player co-op tournament we're going to be doing. And it's actually effective. You can do it as a team, or you can do it individually.
Okay.
And I did it individually. I won a few rounds. I don't know if you get any achievements. I got to double-check that one. But it was interesting. It kind of, we didn't really pay attention to it because it was our first time playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure once you finish the campaign, you know, a few times, and you want to do some co-op, the scoring will bring a competitive edge to it, and it should be fun.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a cool way to, like, fight separately as opposed to, like, both fighting in the same game where you're fighting against each other and you're comparing your score. It's more like you're fighting a fixed enemy, and how good you do against that. Well, not fixed, but AI, you know, so. I mean, it's really cool. I got kind of a crash course in it by Dweezil from Tide the Leader right before I came on here, and he was telling me about how the whole thing works. And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to play it. It's been, you know, coming back from Seattle and the jet lag and the lack of sleep and everything. You know, getting back to normal.
But quickly, that's – sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
You know, you mentioned that you still haven't had a chance to mess with it. That's just an indication of how much comes with Halo 3.
Right.
It's not just the usual format that we had with Halo 2, which was a single-player game and multiplayer. You have so much that there's still things that most people haven't even gotten their hands on, like with Forge and save game films and taking pictures, and in your case, going through the metagames and you know, co-op. You haven't even done co-op, right?
Nope, not at all, because when I went to Seattle, I really wanted to, it had a better setup than I had at home, so I was like, you know, I'm just going to play through this on my own, think of it like a theater thing where I just want to hear it without any distractions, and get the whole story as it goes through. Yeah, people were telling me that I was just kind of like staring, drooling at the screen, you know?
Yeah, it was funny, they were like, dude, Fumo Jive was like staring right at the screen, he had, you know, pure focus of a ninja, you know.
I was like catatonic, man.
Yeah. No, I agreed with you when you said that finally, and I was listening to you and the audio that Rod Smack did for his Zoomcast, where you told him, "Hey, I've waited so long for this, and to finally sit down and see it in front of me, it was like, oh my god, it's here." You know, it's like waiting for the movie that you've always wanted to see.
Yep.
You know, the sequel. You know, I mean, it was awe-inspiring. I mean, as nerdy as it sounds.
Seriously, like the first time I played through, I got that that monologue at the very beginning when the, you know, Master Chief is burning into the atmosphere with the Forerunner relic, and Cortana is talking, and oh man, I just, it brought a tear to my eye because I was like, I can't believe I'm actually allowing myself to finally see this, you know, and go through it and. Yeah. And this is it, you know, this is the moment, you know, so.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was like that for a lot of you guys listening out there, you know, you finally,
yeah,
you
don't
finally
lie, don't lie.
Got this game. You finally got to finish the story, finish the fight, and it's just, it's, you know, it's an amazing moment, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll move on, and then we'll continue to share our very emotional
I'm so sentimental about Halo, dude. My wife would be proud of me.
Episode. Yeah, no, I don't think so. She'd probably go, "Why you show more emotion for that thing? What do you do for me?"
Oh, man.
Because believe me, I've heard it.
Women.
Oh, man. All right, so, Drive, it's your turn.
Okay. Michigan boy says, wow, I thought that the first level was great. I really enjoyed the graphics, especially the lighting. It was kind of funny because in situations when there might be a jackal across the river, I would be using my pistol to take them out instead of the AR, not to save ammo, just because it's surprisingly accurate. Well, all in all, it's a great level. Thanks, Michigan boy. What did you guys think about the pistol?
I'm quite surprised that he was using it. I actually didn't use it much in single player. I did use it a bit in single multi. And I'm going to give that a shot. I'm going to see if, you know, I can take out those pesky jackals from, like, 3 miles away.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either about the accuracy of the pistol. I mean, you know, I picked up the pistol. I was like, what? No zoom? No super fast shot?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point? You know, might as well drop this and pick up a... I'm serious, man. Needler, dude. Needler is super powerful now.
Awesome.
Yeah, we all know it, man. Needler is like a rifle now. I mean, it's and it explodes a lot faster. It fires a lot faster. It reloads a lot faster. The thing is a powerhouse. So
yeah.
I'd definitely pick up the Needler first. It's weird. You know, it's weird saying that because with Halo 2, the Needler was so weak. I mean, even dual Needlers were if they could easily dodge it, you know, if they were at any distance because of how poorly it tracked. So.
Yeah, and I believe Cameron was closing his window.
Sorry about that. These kids are just
okay.
Sitting out
that's
there
okay.
In my front yard.
they want to be on the show. You should have told them, hey, guys, what's your gamer? Hey. So
shut up,
I believe.
You pesky kids.
So who's next? That's you, right, Fumo? Clown X.
I think so. And you're after that. Okay. So Clown X says, "Ah, Halo, how we've loved you, how we've
nice.
Missed you." Starting out, Halo 3 is a tremendous task, and Sierra 117 pulls it off gracefully. It hits a balance between scripted tutorials and the expositionless rest of the story. Starting with an AR, you immediately start to take it in. You might start using some Covenant weapons, or just stick with human, or do both, but altogether you should be killing Covenant by the bucketful at the end. It's a fitting first level to one of the best games of 2007, both as a mission and an event, and an even better tutorial even. My only complaint is the lack of story so far in the beginning. Not everyone, not me of course, completely remembers Halo 2. Many have tried to block out the ending.
Wow.
I hear that. Yeah, it kind of starts at, like, for people that are into the Halo series, you know, understanding what that first monologue says.
Yeah, that was, they could have, I mean, I remember listening to, I forgot which show it was, and they said they should have had at least something similar to Star Wars, where it was like a 3-page, scroll of words explaining, you know, part of the first two stories. Yeah, it left the casual person out of the equation when, I mean, straight from the beginning, of course, we all, most of us anyway, knew exactly where Master Chief, why he was falling from the sky and where he was coming from.
Okay.
The average person who didn't finish two, you know, was probably like, what happened? Where did he come from? I mean, he can fly. Wow.
You know, I got a comment on that, actually, because when you first played Halo 1, you were suddenly thrown into the story and you had no idea what was going on. And for me, I can't imagine how anyone could have really understood the first part if they just heard the first part and they didn't even play the game. How could you understand what was going on? I mean, you had to go back to the manual and read the backstory and hear the whole situation. So, oh, I see.
Yeah.
There's a covenant that's a group of alien races that's bent on destroying the human race as part of some religious series and so on and so forth. So I think that kind of takes a cue from Halo 1 in saying that, look, we're not going to patronize you. We're going to expect that you either know what's going on or you're going to read what's going on in the instruction manual. And get up to speed. And we're going to treat you like an intelligent person, you know? And this is going to be the kind of story that you would appreciate. So I think that's kind of a nod to Halo fans, a nod to people that are willing to go and read a little bit of backstory and get up to speed on the whole thing. And just people that don't appreciate being patronized by a bunch of, you know, continual cues on what was going on. Oh, for those of you that are stupid, here's what was what's happening right now. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes movies and games, yeah.
On Halo 3.
So speaking of the beginning cinema, we haven't really talked about that much. What was your feeling? I mean, did you get a good? Did you feel it was a good beginning to Halo 3 as an opening cinema?
What did you think, Drive C?
I actually thought it was really, 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 really good. Just because it's the first time we've seen Halo, you know, the campaign in HD, and you know, right when he's just flying in, you got the surround sound, and everything's just cranking and shaking, and your eyes are glued to the screen. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and it was also good to hear Cortana in the opening sequence, and she kind of gives her own backstory as to why she chose John. I mean, before the opening sequence, they never really explained why she was, her and Master Chief were paired up. But she, you know, she explained that she had the option to choose, and that he had one thing that nobody else had, which was luck. And of course, he crashes into the ground, and we see this interesting cinematic opening scene. And I mean, what do you think about it, Fumo, when you saw Master Chief laying there? I mean, obviously we knew he wasn't gonna die. I mean,
right
in the very beginning. And this is has not. We're not saying that he died or anything, but we're just talking about the opening sequence only.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you, man. Hearing Cortana talking in that first part, I've always thought they had amazing voiceover quality, because voiceover quality can really make or break a game, or yes, you know, or anything that has voiceover, or a movie for that matter. You know, just people really giving it, putting their heart into it, and not just treating it like a job, but really, you know, getting into the character. And I think Cortana especially does that very well. And she really proved it on this one in the very first scene, with the whole thing about, you know, choosing Master Chief, and you know why I picked you, luck, you know, and just that whole thing just brought goosebumps to me. You know, it's like, gosh, she does that so good, and she just really makes me believe it that you know, it's like she's saying, you know, Master Chief, I really care about you, you know, and I really cared about you from the beginning, and I don't want this to be torn apart by me being torn off by the grave mind and me going crazy and everything, and just don't forget me, you know, don't give up on me, you know, and it's like, it's almost like she's saying that throughout, really, in different ways, but at the same time, she's just going nuts, and she's talking in all kinds of different metaphors and everything, but it's so cool how that happens. And you know, when he's down there and everything, I know that, you know, he's getting up. Of course, he's not gonna die at the beginning of the game, but you know, as they're going through that and they're covering and it's back to the Marines. It's just, it brings you back to where it was with Halo 1 and Halo 2. You know, it's we're back in the Marines battle, and they're. We're saving the human race here, and this is serious business, you know. So it was exciting to get into that mood again.
Yeah, and there was a few interesting parts in there, especially when Sergeant Johnson, he looks at John while he's on the ground, and he puts his hand on his shoulder and closes his eyes like to say, "Damn, you know, I'm gonna miss you," you know. And then, you know, he takes the chip from the back of his helmet, and you know, that's when John goes, "Hey, I'm still alive." Mm-hmm. And the other part was just the beginning, when you look up in the sky and you see the stars, and it kind of almost felt like the commercial with the two kids.
Yeah.
And then you hear the little melody going on, you see this, you know, this trail of fire in the sky, and then Cortana's talking, and it just felt like a movie. It felt like an opening to a movie. It was done so well.
Really did. All right, well, before we continue, let's get to some interviews that we got at the Halo 3 launch event in Seattle, Washington, while JVB and I were there. We got some really sweet interviews there, guys, so check it out.
All right, Fumo Jai here with Claude Herrera, a.k.a. Louis Wu from HBO.
All right, welcome, man. Hey, tell me a little bit about HBO and what you do there, what you guys do in the community.
We post news.
Okay, great. Thanks. Nice interview. So the long answer.
We do our best to cover what's going on in the community and keep people informed about what people are making, what people are creating, what people are thinking about, sort of what's going on in the outside world. If it relates to Halo, we try to talk about it.
Nice. And how long has HBO been around?
We opened our doors as blam.bungie.org in May of 1999, and then halo.bungie.org opened the day that Halo was announced, which was July 20th, 99.
Sweet. Okay. So you guys have forums and everything too, right?
We do have forums. They've been open since May as well. They, in fact, opened before the front page.
Outstanding. Really cool. So we're here at the Bungie Community event in Seattle. What are you most excited about with Halo 3 coming out now?
I'm really looking forward to playing around with save films. I haven't done very much with them yet, and they just look incredible. And the whole idea of being able to go back over what you've done, what other people have done, being able to mess around with the world, you know, I really enjoyed marathon films back in the day, and I'm glad Bungie finally got back to doing that sort of thing.
So. Cool, man. That's awesome. Well, what kind of games have you been playing here? I mean, what kind of stuff have you been enjoying on the multiplayer, single player?
Well, this morning we played a few hours of single player, and we, three or four of us got together and ran through the first five or six levels on co-op. Maybe less than that. Maybe four levels. That was a lot of fun. And then we broke for lunch, and we've been playing multiplayer ever since. The game types have been a little bit varied. We go from straight-up Slayer to wacky rockets-only capture the flag on Snowbound and whatever. I don't even know who's making up the game types, but he's just picking random stuff, and they're a lot of fun.
Cool. Was there any weapons or features that really stood out in the multiplayer that you're pretty excited about? Or
I don't know. It feels like the Brute Shot's a better weapon than it was in Halo 2. I'm really enjoying it quite a lot. The effects are great. The grenades are great. And the melee is actually really nicely strong.
That's cool. I mean, the Brute Shot is... I agree. I mean, it's like... It doesn't arc like it did in Halo 2, or at least if it does, it barely does.
Right.
So you can actually aim it.
and it two grenades plus a melee is a nearly 100% of the time a kill. So it's
more powerful too.
It does seem to be more powerful, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, and the melee with the blade, you would have thought with Halo 2, you got this giant blade, and you're smacking someone with it, you know, tear them in half or something.
You
but
had to hit somebody five or six times to kill them.
Right.
Yeah, it's good that they really picked that up. So, all right, well, thanks, Lewis. Appreciate it. And tell us again where we can find HBO at.
It's halo.bungie.org.
All right, thanks, man.
Okay, I'm... We're in the presence of greatness, that's right. I'm JBB with Fumo Jive.
Yeah.
Autacular.com.
Hey, wait a minute. Is that Marcus?
Yeah, that's Marcus. That's our art director taking off on his Harley. Seriously, yeah.
We are here with the legendary Marty O'Donnell, the creator of the Halo... I heard some rumor that you sometimes go by a different name. Is that true?
Who?
You. But I googled you one time, and a different name came up.
Well, Marty O'Donnell, Marty the Elder, okay. Lance.
The master of the great one.
Lance is my gamer tag, just so you know.
Okay. I've been wondering who was that.
That's me.
So
there's only one Lance in all of Xbox Live, and that's me.
Nice.
It's not Lance 117, it's not Lance 505, it's just Lance.
It's a good name to grow.
Only, Lance. Only I could be Lance, because I got in early.
There you go. Yeah. Just like I was, yeah. I think I'm the only three-digit person I know. Okay.
Yeah.
The music.
Yeah.
You are popular because of the Halo, you know, the music you've done for the Halo franchise.
Okay.
We all know, I remember the Flintstones commercial for
that.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way... Just so you know, see this girl right here?
Yes.
This is my daughter.
Pleased to meet you.
She's the one who sang Engro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's nice. Better than Halo.
Absolutely.
She sang Engrowing on Flintstones Vita right here.
She will always be
six.
Better than history.
She'll always be 6 years old.
Always be six.
Yeah.
Look a little older than six.
Now she's 25, but there you go.
So what's your most memorable moment throughout the three games while being the composer, being the maestro of the Halo music?
Wow, most memorable moment. Wow, that's a tough one. I don't know. You know what?
All three
of them are like each one is... I've been working on Halo, the Halo franchise for almost 10 years.
Wow.
So I think the one that I'll have to say is when I actually was sitting in my basement in 1999 and I had sent the DVD or the CD of the music off to Macworld 99.
Oh, wow.
And I hoped they were going to play it when Jason hit the start button on the Mac demo for Halo. I hoped the guy who's going to hit the start button on the CD were in sync.
Oh, okay.
And I was sitting there watching the live webcast of that thing.
Yeah.
And when it all came in sync and the crowd started clapping at the end, I realized, you know, I think we might have something here.
Nice.
And that was the thing that I think really made me realize we might have something cool.
Now, how hard was it for you to top the music that you've done in Halo 1 and 2? Because I've heard the music. We played it, and it's fantastic.
You know what? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I had to make a decision to, like, whether to do all new stuff for Halo 3 or to come back to, like, some of the themes that I really loved from Halo 1 and the themes I loved from Halo 2. And there were some recordings that I felt could have been done better. There were arrangements I felt could have been more spectacular.
Yeah.
And I just took them, and I got a big orchestra and a big choir together and recorded a bunch of that stuff. And... that's how I think I topped it, because I finally was able to record the kind of music that I always wanted to have for some of those themes. Yeah.
Thank you, Marty.
Okay, man.
And
thanks for talking to me.
Thank you very much for taking your time.
Cool, man.
Huge fan.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
I'm Robert Zuma.
Major Nelson on Xbox Live.
Oops. I don't have a cool handle. I didn't make one up. Transformer name.
Dial Pex.
And I'm Capricorn.
This is Podtacular.
I need help leveling up. Can you help me?
Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast.
I'm a big fan of your show and what you guys are doing over here.
Podtacular.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaking!
Well, let's move on to the next one here. We got the keypad, right?
Yeah,
keypad. He says, "Dear Podtacular, I love the Halo AI, mainly how they know when to hell, when to hide, I guess, and when to stay back and let you do it, and let you do it so you don't kill your own guys." Okay, so I'm assuming that he's talking about the Marine AIs, how they kind of stay away from you when you're destroying nubs.
I guess so.
He goes, a good example is the first few moments of the level.
Yeah, I think he's skipping ahead of himself a little bit.
Yeah,
let's go on to the next one. Why don't you do the next one?
Sierra. Yeah, so Capet, you know, maybe a few months down the line when we get up to that specific map, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So Duststorm, he says, the question that is floating in my mind was changing the X button a good move? Was changing the X button a good move? I try to reload and I either die or deploy something that I didn't want to deploy. I can easily see the X button being put back to its original function and putting the equipment on the right bumper. Yeah, I know, it makes sense to have the right bumper as a right reload, but I just feel more comfortable with a button scheme I'm already used to. As for graphics, it very good, except too shiny. Well, they did some real-time lighting. It doesn't give that realistic feel to me. It feels more like a video game than in Halo 2 and than something real life. Keep on fragging trucks. Well, let's face it. I mean, the Halo franchise has never aimed towards, you know, quote-unquote, real-life graphics.
Right.
It's, you know, a fantasy-based game. But the real time lighting physics, well, not physics, but the real time lighting was absolutely stunning, especially in Sierra 117, where light
diffuses.
You can look through one direction and be under shade, and then turn to your left and you see the glare of the sun hitting you. I mean, it was awesome. And the light, you know, the sun rays going through the trees. I mean, it was well done. So to me, the real time lighting was awesome.
What did you think of that drive scene? Did you notice anything in particular on the lighting that really caught your attention?
The ghosts are a lot more shiny now.
Cool. Speaking of shiny, yeah. I noticed one thing I noticed a few things that were unusually shiny, but then again, I noticed some things in Halo 2 that were shiny that were like, why is this shiny? You know, there was, like, for instance, streets that were made of asphalt that were clearly shiny as well. That was a little weird, as far as, like, actually casting reflections on what's going on, so,
yeah.
I can see where he's coming from on that, but, you know, like JVB said, it's not necessarily supposed to be realistic looking in the sense of, like, of Call of Duty or something like that.
Absolutely.
It's a futuristic game, it's a futuristic look, and it's really a different world kind of atmosphere going on. All the lighting is a little exaggerated. The different, like, for instance, when the lights light up on the doors, you see a lot of blur around that with the same color. You know, these kind of things like permeate throughout the whole world, really. And the way the characters are rendered is different. So, you know, it's just, you got to get into it in the same way that you would maybe a comic book, but not necessarily that much. It's not, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's like a comic book, but yeah. I would say that it's a little bit realistic.
Let's get it straight. It's not perfect dark shiny. Where everything looks plastic. Yeah, to me,
right.
I had no problem with it. The next issue that he brought up was the right bumper configuration.
Yeah.
To me, I kind of forgot when I first started playing Halo 3 again about the right bumper. Even though I knew it in the back of my mind, hey, you know, remember they changed the button sequence. But out of habit, I hit X a few times, and of course, I was deploying, you know, valuable deployable weapons when I didn't want to.
Yeah.
But to me, once you get used to it, it's natural with the right bumper reload. I mean, it just feels right. And, I mean, I got both of my fingers. I got one on the trigger and one on the right bumpers. And, you know, after about 45 minutes, you really don't think about it much.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing is with that is that it's just a matter of being used to it from Halo 2. It has nothing to do with the way the control scheme should be for Halo 3, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That, as far as that goes, I think the biggest trouble I had with that was boarding vehicles. You're used to boarding with X, you know, you're used to you're used to hitting X to get into vehicles. So, it, you know, holding right bumper to reload weapons definitely makes sense, but boarding vehicles, you don't shoot a vehicle, well, I guess you do with the right trigger, but you're driving a vehicle, so you're not necessarily shooting it as secondary, so you don't think of it in that same way. So for me, that was a big difference, and it still is a little bit in multiplayer, but you know, I'm getting used to it, and it's, I think it's definitely a good change. You know, sometimes, kind of like maybe this is kind of an obscure reference, but Photoshop made a big change in the way that their layers palette works. In the same way, you know, sometimes you have to make big changes to go the right way. And I think that's what Bungie did in a good way with Halo 3. So.
Yes, it was well done.
What I'm seeing is it was more for the independent reloads. You know, you'd be dual wielding something. You run out of ammo on one thing, but if you want to reload that, you still have to reload both, and then you end up dying.
Right.
So, I mean, that's... I don't know. Get used to it.
Yeah, unfortunately for those, you know, I mean... I know a friend of mine, he had Halo. He was one of those individuals who had Halo a few days, maybe, you know, 3 to 4 days before everybody else did. And, you know, got it from local mom and pop joint. And he calls me up. He didn't play the beta. And he's screaming, man, I can't get used to this right bumper button. I keep throwing my deployable weapons. Did you know that? I'm like, yes. He goes, Why didn't you tell me? I was like, oops, I forgot. You know, I mean, no big deal. I mean, he's a real hardcore Halo fan. So he read about it before, but he just totally forgot about it, just like we all did.
Yeah.
And, of course, once you sit down and play some Halo, it's, you know, just a matter of repetitious setting in, you know, habit. So it'll take a little while. I'm sure everybody by now is already used to it.
I can't believe it's here, man. Halo 3, we're playing. It's amazing. So who's up next? Am I? Are you, Darcy?
I think it's me.
Go
yeah.
for it, man.
Let's see here. The Mexican says, I'm going to paraphrase this.
Do it.
I want to start out by saying how much I can't wait for all the upcoming Halo 3 shows. Let's see here. So basically what he's saying is he loves the beginning cutscene. He says it was absolutely amazing. The voice acting, as always, is amazing. The graphics are very crisp. And as for the gameplay, where does he start? For the first time I saw a gold-plated brute standing on that log, I was awestruck for a split second. And then I owned him with the AR and mopped up the grunts. Basically, he just goes on talking about the chieftain and the gravity hammer and how hard it is on heroic. Gameplay tip, if you are close to the brute chieftain as he's about to ka-smack you with the hammer melee.
Ka-smack!
Ka-smack! Hammer melee. Oh, sorry. Need a comma there. Melee him right before he swings, and he'll get disoriented, and then he'll yell at you. Once you've done this, all you have to do is kill him quick, because now he's very angry, and he wants to hammerize you into the ground.
Ka-smack.
I'm very angry at you! Don't hit me!
It's hammer time.
Oh, man.
Yes. Yeah. That's cool.
What else does he say? That's about it.
Basically keep on fragging chieftains. JVB and Fumo Jive, keep on keeping on.
Cool.
Thank you, Mexican. And look forward to future submissions.
Much obliged.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, moving on. We got one from Anorexic Leader who says, "Hey, Podtech, your Anorexic Leader here to talk about strategies for Sierra 117. And boy, does he send in some strategies. We'll try to do the best we can. Keep it short here. Okay. So, first of all, he says, I played this level a few times and have come across plenty of basic Halo techniques to get you through in one piece. There's not a whole lot special about this level. However, it is the first campaign level. And I'm sure if you're eager like myself, this was probably the first part of Halo 3 that you saw. First off, the brutes. If you're playing on harder difficulties such as heroic or legendary, you'll notice that the brutes seem very hard to take down. However, always target the brutes before any other ground enemies, seeing as how the rest of the battle will be mop-up kills, basically, against grunts and shielded jackals. You'll also get a chance to be shot at by many jackal snipers hidden among trees and cliffs. A very good idea would be to turn on campaign scoring to make sure that you kill the snipers before you run into a battle. If you don't take them out soon, they can be really annoying later on when your shields are low. However, they are easy to spot because of the purple light put off by their gun. When you reach the downed pelican, I would suggest grabbing the sniper rifle and saving it for jackals up ahead. Common strategies such as shooting explosive barrels to kill clustered enemies and using grenades to stick lesser enemies or brutes, are also very helpful. I have to say one of the most annoying things that killed me a few times in Legendary was the darn suicide bomber grunts. They charge you with those two-lit plasma grenades. If you don't notice them, they are a real pain. However, if you shoot them early enough, they end up killing your allies. Enemies only use bubble shields and basic equipment on this level because they save the more complex equipment for later levels in the campaign. A good tactic for a bubble shield is to quickly charge in and plant a grenade. Most of the time, brutes will not notice and stand there awaiting death. You can also run into one brute chieftain with a gravity hammer. He will use his invincibility, but as long as you shoot from a safe distance when his shields drop, you should be fine. The level is not that hard, and you shouldn't have problems getting the scoring achievement for this level. There are no terminals but one skull. The skull can be found close to where you free Johnson from his cell. Walk to the back of the level and run along the high catwalks. It should be a building with a roof of glass. Walk to the very end of the building, and tucked away in a corner, yet very easy to spot, is the iron skull. pick it up for an easy 10 gamer score. Free Johnson, then board the Pelican, and the mission is over. However, some funny one-liners are heard in the next cutscene. Sorry for the tight squeeze! Tell the commander her ace is in the hole! I laughed the first time I heard it. Cortana also shows up in a little mini cutscenes that are really frustrating. They add great backstory, but really pull you out of the mission. They also make you walk real slow, like in Gears of War. And that was something I really hated. I wouldn't mind them so much if they were tucked away in the corner of the HUD or something, but I really think this is a waste of time to have them show up full screen.
Hmm. Cool. So, that was pretty long.
Yeah, it was.
But very useful, and I appreciate your submission here.
Definitely.
I've been hearing between one or two skulls. I'm kind of confused as to exactly how many skulls are in this level. Is there one, or is this two, or is there two?
I'm really not sure. Like I said, I haven't, you know, even played.
No, I think it said up on it that there is two. There's the blind skull, and then the iron skull.
Okay, cool.
Now, tell us.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, I was going to say, tell us, DriveC, what the skulls do, and like, there's more to it than there is in Halo 2, right?
I guess. I actually haven't gone out collecting skulls myself, but from what I understand is that for campaign scoring, there's multipliers for getting certain skulls, making it a little harder. And then I think there's certain skulls with achievement points on them, like the iron skull, like it was just said, 10 easy to get achievement points. So, I mean, if you're just going to be playing the game again or playing it for, I don't know, I'd play the game again instead of going looking for the skulls the first time. It might take away from the story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're, from what I hear, they're really easy gamer points if you're out to get them.
They are pretty simple gamer points. If you're fine.
So
the
tough part
is finding them.
I understand as far as the gamer score goes, as far as the campaign scoring goes, is that as you go along, what you do is you collect these skulls, and instead of just like being a cool thing that changes your HUD and makes things more difficult, it does make things more difficult, yes, in a bunch of different ways, but it also multiplies your score by a certain, you know, percentage or something like that. So
yes,
that when you're playing campaign scoring, you get a higher score in general as you go along in the level, but at the same time it becomes more difficult. So the question is, how many skulls can you go along with and still finish the level and, you know, get the multiplier score as it goes along? So it makes kind of a cool setup going on where you're kind of like throwing a gamble. Can I get through this level, or can I, you know, get through even part of it and still, you know, make it past these different parts with these funky skulls going on that are limiting my ability, you know, and at the same time get a higher score? So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so Lancelot 59, he says, my bro and I had borrowed a 360 from his lab's supervisor, and thus I was able to play Halo 3 till 4 a.m. when my mom came down, sent me to bed. My first reaction was, wow. Looking at the level of graphics in the game, it was even better than I thought it would be. The animations looked really lifelike, and the lighting effects really added to the environments. One thing I was disappointed on was the brutes. They were a complete pushover. I didn't usually meet more than one or two at a time, and I didn't really see any partner-to-partner coordination that Bungie talked about in the Vidoc. I did see a Marine getting the crap punched out of him, but that was in the campaign preview. However, the brutes were nevertheless more challenging than the elites and a good source of deadly weapons. Okay. Cortana's little appearance was a little cryptic at first, but if you listen to them throughout the game, her rumblings kind of make sense. The Pelicans getting shot down and all the events that follow really engaged me in the game. Getting a little lost here. Okay. All I have to complain about is the Lord Hood. Is that Lord Hood looked a little too shiny, I guess. He just didn't blend in with the world like the other characters did. But other than that, Sierra 117 was a good start to what was an amazing game experience. This has been rather my rather long review of 117. I'm just going to call it 117. Thanks a lot. And I like the new Podtacular site. I would like to give a shout-out to Chucky J and all the members of Godtacular, and a quick thanks to Logan Payne for his awesomeness. Keep on fragging the 250,000-plus Halo news.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot more than that. But I don't know what's his riff with the brutes. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're intelligent, because there were times where I would shoot one, he'd run away, then he'd come back, I start shooting him again. He's behind a bubble shield. And, you know, at one point, there was about, I'd say, five of them in one spot. Hmm. So maybe he was playing on the easy difficulty.
That must be it. You know, people must not realize that the AI changes on the different difficulty levels.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. And it's not cheap. It's not like Halo 2 where they just had more shield, and you just had to waste more ammo, and you were left with with a little bit of ammunition. And
right.
They kind of cheesed their way through. Here, they actually strategize a lot more. They hide. They do random strategies to try to flank you or attack you. For the first time, I saw a grunt, and the grunts were aggressive. And they were hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And like a few people already mentioned, the grunt with the two plasma grenades in his hands running right at you. I mean, you didn't see that in the first two. So the AI is really well done very well. And I advise everybody, play on heroic. If you don't want to do legendary, at least do heroic. It's worth it.
Definitely. Well, let's do one or two more, Drive C.
Okay. Do I just pick any one?
If you like, yeah.
Let's see here. Well, I guess there's just a couple left. So, L's here. Just wanted to say I love the show, and this is my first submission, and hopefully not my last. Well, congratulations on the show.
Yeah, congrats.
The first time I played Sierra 117, I was totally getting my anus kicked.
Wait a minute. Okay, it said get my arse kicked, and you said get my penis kicked.
I thought he said
is that penis. Better?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh wait, what did you say? What did you say? Did I miss it?
Anus.
Oh, your anus.
Yeah,
I thought you said get my penis kicked. I was like, wow.
Trust me, it's a lot better.
I'm going to keep this family friendly and say penis instead. my dong slong or whatever.
Parents out there are like, that's it. Enough Podtacular for you.
By the brutes, because I was so taken aback by the beauty of the level and the graphics. I couldn't concentrate on the game at all because it looked so good and I wanted to take it all in. So it took a while to get through. But in the end, I loved the level, and it was a very nice way to ease us into the game. Basically, it just says, great level, great game. What else is there to say?
Yeah.
You know what? You're never going to let me live this one down, JV.
No, because he says anus, and then throughout you hear, you know, it took a while to get through, and I love the nice way to ease into the game.
Oh, man.
So many innuendos.
Maybe I shouldn't.
You're horrible, JV.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Oh, man. You're in trouble. I'm in trouble. Dang, man. What did I say?
I'm kicked off the show.
No, and then when he said, I was taken aback.
Like, oh, nice. Gosh.
Oh god!
Oh, you're horrible. Okay. Anyway,
All right. So
moving on to, I guess this is the last one. Lone Star Ace, who says, "Hey guys." Okay, he says it in all caps, so I'm just gonna. Hey guys, my first time sending in a question. My favorite Jack is Lone Star Ace, so my question is, what did you guys think of the ending of Halo 3? Like the last mission, the cutscene, after the credits. No need to go into much detail, just in case there's some people listening who have not finished the fight. Well, Hopefully you guys have finished the first level of the fight by now.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I'm pretty sure that most of the Podtacular who own the game have finished the whole campaign, but,
right,
you know, for those people who haven't, we got to show them, you know, some consideration, so
definitely
bear with us. We're going to take our time and enjoy this entire storyline.
Which explains basically what we're going to do with this. We're going to cover, you know, one mission per campaign segment. Even though by the time we get to the second one, I'm sure the vast majority of people that played Halo 3 will have gotten through the entire campaign. But really, the point is to talk about what's cool about the story, talk about campaign scoring, talk about how to get the skulls and everything else, and what we liked about the graphics, the sound, the story, and everything else. So really, it's more like kind of a reminisce and a way to go through a second time, because there's more to campaign than there was in Halo 2. So we're going to be enjoying that as we go through and helping you guys definitely level up and stay there in multiplayer, but also, you know, get a higher score in campaign scoring. So, where are you going?
Yes, and unfortunately, we weren't able to read everybody's submissions. And unfortunately, you know, we got to go to work tomorrow, and there's things we've got to do. And there were a lot of submissions. So, go to the show notes at Podtacular.com and just read up on everybody's, you know, everybody we left out. We have some new members who sent things in, and I apologize to those guys. And, of course, the Podtacular regulars who have come out of the woodworks because of Halo 3. It's good to see a few familiar names in there. So please, make sure you go and check out the show notes.
Yeah, guys. Welcome back, definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, wrapping things up, send your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show, which is going to be every Monday. We're going to be posting the invitation to send in stuff for next week's show. So definitely check that out either sometime Monday or definitely Tuesday if you go on there. You're going to see it for that day. It's going to be... Deadline is Tuesday evening to get those in.
And then you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. I will repeat this for Big Goalie Dan, 206-888-HALO, and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the Customs and Call-In show and Tales from the Foxhole, which is one of my favorites. That will return next week, and it will be hosted by Captain Crunk.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. While you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of events, projects, and ways to make friends and play Halo with cool people. There's also Review Frenzy Halo 3 Madness, reviews of weapons, vehicles, save films, forge, and the full review each week, written by one of the top five writers on the Review Frenzy at podtacular.com, coming out each day of this week that we're recording this show. So if you guys go check that out by now, it's going to be out there for the previous week. There's going to be lots of great reviews, lots of great info about Halo 3, and, you know, overview the whole deal.
DM700, I believe, put his review of the weapons.
Yeah, DM7000, yeah. That was good stuff, man.
7,770. But he knows who he is, obviously.
700
and of
billion.
Course.
700 to the 8,000th millimeter.
So, thanks to all the people that contributed to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill and a new pair of sneakers for JVB, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you guys. And real quick, I want to go emo again. I want to thank everybody who stuck with us for 2 years, especially during the last, I say, 8 months when there was really nothing to talk about. And you guys stood with us, and, I mean, this is the reason why I'm here, because you guys stood by us when there was really nothing to talk about Halo-related. And now that Halo 3 is here, we're gonna be coming back strong the way we used to back in the days.
Definitely, man. Shout out to Killazilla, Chronic Jester, Anjo Banjo, and Brian
Banjo.
Osborne. Definitely. Also, Pod TV is looking for you to send in your coolest save films for the next Pod TV show. If you guys haven't subscribed to the feed, you guys have checked out the latest Pod TV. And there's going to be a new one in the future that's basically a user-submitted show. That's stuff going on. Okay, gamer tag to send stuff into. Get your pen ready. ITZ space PODDZ. It's Pods. Before, send that in before Friday, October 12th, and send in your funny clips, good kills, etc. And if it's good, and we have the space, we will put it on the Pod TV podcast.
And actually, there is one up already, and it's pretty good. It's a overview of the entire game, all the features. I advise you to check it out at podtagular.com. And don't forget to check out the other shows on the GamerCast Network, Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, GamerCast Network's video game show, Achievement Junkies, and Sarcastic Gamer.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And this is Drive C.
And I want to thank you again, Drive C, for joining us and taking the time. And we look forward to more of your little poems there.
Yeah. Thanks, JVB. Thanks, Fumo.
Got it, man.
Keep on bragging charts, man.
Keep on bragging charts, guys.
There's only one thing left to say.
You will forever be known as the man who, instead of saying ass, you said anus.
And I thought you said penis.
Yeah, yeah. Penis.
Well, my voice has been lagging or something.
Yeah, it was lag. It was lag. Yeah, yeah. It was some kids out there. Yeah, they said it.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah, the kids outside, they were like, yeah.
Penis.
I already shut the window.
I thought he said weenus.
Yeah, I was gonna later on. I was like, I should have said weenus. Dang it!
I was like, blast from the past. Nice. He's done his homework.
Dang.
But he said anus. Nice.
Should I be a little closer to the mic here? Or?
Yeah, actually, that would help a little bit.
Okay, problem. I've got an IMAX. I need to scoot up the entire computer.
Aww.
Okay, well.
Hey, it works.
Whatever works, man. Actually, that will probably help your voice be a little clearer as well.
His mom's going to walk in, and he's, like, making out with the freaking monitor. Oh, I'm
doing
a show.
You doing? Oh, God. Honey, our son's in one of these... going crazy, I don't know, on the internet.
But I'm with Fumo Jive and JVB. Oh my God.
You are never to talk to them ever again.
Animals.
Dude, I actually pissed her off a little bit because I thought it was going to be sometime not today.
Yeah.
And then I read the email. I'm like, oh, the show's today at 5. And she's all like, oh, okay. And then she, you know, I call her and say, okay, you remember that it's at 5 today? And she's like, it's at 5 today? I thought you said Thursday. I'm like,
no, I'm like, 5 so today.
I'll be the second kid grounded on Podtacular.
Hey,
join the history.
This week on the GamerCast Network. Don't miss Gamertag Radio's exclusive podcast interview with Capcom about their upcoming game Devil May Cry 4 for the Xbox 360. Uncle Gamer celebrates its 50th episode. Be sure to check out Uncle Gamer's Big 5-0 with a special tribute to the Uncle Gamer community. On the video game show, a member of the crew gains enough experience points to achieve a new level. Microsoft Xbox MVP. On Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, Fumo Jive and JVB break down the latest headlines and developments since the release of Halo 3. On the Sarcastic Gamer podcast, the crew pulls a practical joke on Lano and discusses the so-called artificial shortage of Nintendo Wiis for this Christmas. This week on Achievement Junkie, Nelson and Natalie talk about Halo 3 co-op, Project Gotham Racing 4, and using 360s as fish tanks.
Huh?
Discover the website that brings you all of these great episodes and headlines at GamerCastNetwork.com. That's GamerCastNetwork.com. Welcome.